Standard supply.
The weather is not looking good in Chicago, and that means the Cubs could have to beat Steven Strasburg twice in their NLDS. Can they do it? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show.
Nothing I can say today can probably change people's mind. But if you look at my time, let's talk about me specifically for a moment. My time over the last 11 years, I think I've proven over a long period of time for those who are around me and have watched the leadership that, they know who I am and how I do things.
That's UI Athletic Director Gary Barta just a few months ago, and unfortunate news today that we'll get to in just a little bit. First off, welcome in. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock tonight, and most likely we'll be doing that on all three of our frequencies, 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, 106.3 FM, the South Gym, and 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Those last two frequencies are supposed to be carrying the Cubs and the Nationals game four of the NLDS, but they're in a rain delay right now in Chicago, and it does not look like that game is going to get started anytime soon, let alone within the next half hour. We'll continue to give you updates. As a matter of fact, the next official update scheduled to come from Chicago is at 4:30 at the bottom of the hour, so we will keep our eyes on that, but do not expect to hear Cubs-Nationals baseball tonight if you've looked at any sort of radar across the Midwest, or hell, even stepped outside in eastern Iowa today.
Oh,
because
it's awful out there.
This band is all the way from Des Moines over past Chicago and into Indiana, and a possibility of even stronger storms coming up through southern Illinois. So it's just going to rain, and more rain for the next 12 hours plus in the Chicagoland area. We're going to be talking Hawkeyes with Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. He's joining us tonight at 5 o'clock. And then Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to drop in at 6:30. He's scheduled to talk with Cedar Rapids native and NASCAR driver Landon Cassel on the phone shortly. We found out today Landon Cassel is going to be a free agent for next season. He's lost his team, and I think it's a big story, so we're going to talk to Jeremiah about that. So if you love 90 seconds of NASCAR talk when Jeremiah joins us to talk about the Hawkeyes, you will love 6:30 tonight. We start the program with the sound. That was Gary Barta talking after basically his first media availability after the University of Iowa settled the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum lawsuits for north of $6 million. And we got some unfortunate news today that Gary Barta is suffering from prostate cancer. He's 54 years old, and the UIAD will be taking an indefinite leave of absence from Carver Hawkeye Arena and his office. And we wish him the best in hopefully his recovery efforts. Prostate cancer is the third leading cause of death among men in the United States, according to the American Cancer Society. However, it is highly, highly beatable, especially if you catch it earlier. It's about a 98 to 96% survival rate when it's caught early on. And we'll tell you a little bit more about some of those statistics later on in the program today as well, because this is a good opportunity, teaching opportunity, if you will, to remind everybody how important their health is. And that's actually part of the poll question today at KGYMradio.com. We want to know when the last time you saw your doctor was. And if the answer is anything beyond a year, it's probably good to be thinking about getting a checkup. 319-366-1600 is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. By the way, a big thank you to Emil's Hideaway for sponsoring the poll question, as they do every day at KGYMradio.com. Gary Barta stepping aside, as we mentioned, taking a leave of absence. Barbara Burke, who is the deputy athletic director and has been since April when Gene Taylor left for Kansas State and Manhattan, is going to be serving as the athletic director for the Hawkeyes in the interim. She actually has a history with Gary Barta. She was the deputy AD for him at Wyoming during part of his time in Laramie before he came to Iowa City in 2006. So on behalf of everybody here at KGYM, we want to extend our best wishes to Gary and his family, his wife, his kids, and we've got our fingers crossed, and hopefully he'll be able to make a full and speedy recovery, regardless of what you think about him as an athletic director, and regardless of whether or not you think the Jane Meyer fiasco was mishandled and the Tracy Griesbaum situation. Regardless of what you think about that, I can tell you this. Gary Barta is a good man, and you should be on his side. He's going to beat this, and we'll talk to him hopefully after he does. Alex, the big story today outside of Eastern Iowa and Iowa's athletic department being put into the capable yet temporary hands of Barbara Burke, which, by the way, that's kind of big news, right? The University of Iowa, it's the first time the athletic department, the combined athletic department, has ever been run by a female. Dr. Christine Grant ran the women's athletic department prior to its merger in the early 2000s. There are a lot of baseball fans out there that are hoping to listen to the Cubs and the Nationals tonight. Game 4 is set to come everybody's way from Wrigley Field. First pitch was supposed to be taking place at the bottom of the hour. We now know that there is a delay and that will not take place. We will keep everybody up to speed on when Major League Baseball makes a decision, but there's news circulating. And, of course, TBS is denying this, but there are enough people now, including Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer, saying the contrary, that both teams, Washington and Chicago, saw the forecast and wanted to play this game at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And TBS, which holds the television rights, denied their request. And so now what you've got is two teams playing the waiting game. If you look at the weather, you look at the radar, you know anything about forecasting, or maybe even nothing at all, you can just look at the radar, and it's a pretty good indication this game's not going to be played. And, oh, by the way, the Cubs are scheduled to throw Jake Arrieta today, a pitcher who is in less than 100% health and has a balky hamstring. And what's bad for muscles? Cold weather and the possibility of slipping in the rain. Now, you play the game tomorrow, and instead of Tanner Roark on the mound, you're going to face Steven Strasburg, who practically no-hit you in game one, this on the heels of being nearly no-hit by Max Scherzer the other day. This is a really tough situation for the Cubs to be put in, but they do have the one-game advantage on the Nationals, so it's not as if they would be facing elimination in this, but less than ideal circumstances today at Wrigley Field.
I think if you're the Cubs, you want to play this game today. And if you're the Nationals, I'm surprised that the reports came out that they were trying to get this game in at 1 o'clock today, because if you're the Nationals and Dusty Baker, don't you want this game pushed back to tomorrow so you have Steven Strasburg on the mound? Tanner Roark this season has an ERA over 4.6, going against one of the better pitchers of the past 2 years in Jake Arrieta. If I'm Dusty Baker in the Nationals, I am crossing my fingers that the forecast holds up and they can play this game tomorrow, because Steven Strasburg will give you a much better chance of sending this series back to Washington, D.C. than Tanner Roark will.
Dusty, I know you're listening right now in the visiting manager's office.
Thank you, Stephen A. Smith.
I know you're listening right now in the visiting manager's office at Wrigley Field. If this game gets pushed back to tomorrow, I know you want to start Max Scherzer on short rest. Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
I had a couple of questions that I've been asking people about Dusty Baker, because he caught a lot of flack yesterday. I thought, do we agree that he took Max Scherzer out of the game too early?
Well, I mean, that was a tough spot. I know there's a FanGraphs article earlier today that defended Dusty Baker for that decision, and there's the possibility that that Kyle Schwarber could have done some damage against a Scherzer that was, 98 pitches, 89 pitches something in that neighborhood yesterday. I think the real indefensible decision that he made yesterday was pitching to Anthony Rizzo. I don't know how you defend that one.
Well,
but the jury is out, or I should say you can see both sides of the argument in taking Max Scherzer out of that ball game.
So you would have, if you're the Nationals, you'd rather face Wilson Contreras in that situation than Anthony Rizzo.
Well, no, I think what I'm saying is you can see both sides. Where I don't want to come off as an idiot who just buries his head in the sands and automatically says anything Dusty Baker does is wrong, because
right.
And I've bagged on Dusty Baker for a really long time because I think he's not a terrible manager, but he manages terribly in big situations.
Yes, he does. We can all agree on that.
And you get into the postseason and every situation is a big situation. They had no business pitching to Anthony Rizzo yesterday. None. And yet they did it. And Dusty probably should have had a good idea that if he went to the left-hander, you were going to see Albert Elmora come into the ballgame. And Elmora has been hitting left-handed pitching extraordinarily well this season. So I don't want to sit here and second-guess Dusty Baker. I really don't. But it was a tougher call than some people want to give him credit for yesterday when he took Scherzer out of the game.
I just looked at that situation with Anthony Rizzo, and yes, that hit falls in. Wilson Contreras this year has been outstanding. Before he got hurt, he was you guys were talking about him as a guy who possibly could get some MVP votes at the end of the season. I think it's a little bit tougher call, especially when you see how that played out. Anthony Rizzo pops one up into short left center field, and it falls. I personally thought that the Max Scherzer decision was a lot easier, or a lot more more of a difficult decision, or excuse me, an indefensible decision than to pitch to Anthony Rizzo when it just looked like the defensive alignment was a little bit off.
Cub fans, your thoughts on today's game hanging in limbo right now. 319-366-1600. Bears fans, we are going today to get to last night's Monday Night Football game, and I'm curious to hear what you think about Mitch Trubisky and the fact that he didn't really have a great supporting cast around him last night. I think he's giving Bears fans the opportunity to say that franchise has its quarterback of the future. You just need to give him some more weapons to work with, but ultimately at the end. And I could not agree more with what you tweeted last night, that game, along with about 90% of the other NFL games, completely sums up what the league's problems are. The games are not that interesting. It was the first thing that you asked me today when I walked in, or when you walked into the office and I was sitting at my desk. You said, did you happen to catch any of that? What was the term that you
riveting.
Used? Riveting game last night. And I knew immediately what you were talking about. And I said, yeah, he ain't talking about the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. I know that much. I said, yeah, I watched a little bit of it, enough to know that, you know, I think it was 10-9 when I flipped the game on.
It was 3-2 late in the first half when I turned the game on.
Well, and then they got into the bullpens and things really went downhill from there. No, look. And here's the deal. I want everybody to know this. It's 4:18 right now, right out of the gate. I have made a promise that we're not talking about a certain subject, and it is all over the news today, all over the headlines, every major sports website that you go to. It was talked about all day on ESPN, and I am going to do my damnedest not to talk about it here for the next 2 hours and 40 minutes. Not that I don't want to. But I've made my feelings very clear on why I will not be talking about the subject that virtually everybody else is talking about and everybody has an opinion on.
Including a former Bears coach?
I'm sorry. I will say this. I will say this because it's not about the flag and it's not about the person who's in the Oval Office. So I think we found an asterisk and a little bit of a gray area. Mike Ditka is an idiot. And he's on our airwaves last night, Westwood One, with the Monday Night Football game, and Jim Gray, and they're talking about the issue that I don't want to talk about, which is the protest. And Mike Ditka says that African Americans haven't faced oppression in this country for the last 100 years. Not that he's seen.
That he knows of, yes. I'm pretty sure everybody can disagree with that.
And so KCRG has a story today about this. She looks beautiful. She's 105 years old. Young woman, 105-year-old woman. And just to drive home the point, I quoted the tweet and I said, according to Mike Ditka, the last time that this African-American woman saw oppression in the United States, she was 5 years old. 1917 moving forward, smooth sailing.
Black people weren't allowed to vote until 1965.
That's, well, in parts of the country.
In parts of the country.
Oh, yeah, I said I don't want to talk about it.
My
reasoning on this, you can go to my Twitter and you can go back and listen to the podcast. I think I laid out about as eloquently as I can, which isn't all that eloquent because I don't use the best words sometimes. But I feel like this is something that certain people want, and I'm not going to be part of the division. So I'm doing everything I can, including talking NASCAR with Jeremiah Davis tonight at 6:30 to get through a three-hour program without going in depth on something that I just think is being used to keep us at each other's throats. And I don't want to be a part of it, and I'm not going to be a part of it. But I will say this. I'm aware of the story that made the rounds over the weekend at Clear Creek Amana, and that's the son of a former Iowa basketball player, Daryl Moore. And I'm sickened by it. My heart breaks. And it's 2017, and it's Eastern Iowa. And you can be a Mike Ditka. I completely get that. You can be a Mike Ditka and walk through this world and say that nothing's going on. You don't see it. And you can just be completely oblivious. And if you want to take that approach, more power to you. But Mike Ditka is an idiot, and I'll leave it at that. So if you want to be like him or think like him, and Mike Ditka is an idiot, well, 319-366-1600. Did I stick to my word there?
Yes, you did.
There was an asterisk. There was a little bit of Roger Maris played more games than Babe Ruth, so we found the loophole. And now it's up to somebody to close it. 422.
When I heard that driving home from Mike Ditka on our airwaves, I just couldn't believe what I heard.
I don't want to hear anybody defending Mike Ditka. No. Ditka is an idiot. I'm open to discussing a lot of things. Ditka not being an idiot. Look, I'm seeing on the screen right, Mike Ditka is an idiot, but. There is no but about it. By the way, Mike Ditka is one of the most overrated coaches in NFL history.
Overrated coach and also an idiot.
This is the sound of me. I know this is radio. That's me hitting my head because I can't fathom the idiocy. But more power to him. He's got more money than me. He's more successful than me. I'm sure he's happier than me. 100 years.
The first school wasn't desegregated until 1957.
The facts. The stick to sports crowd, right? What happens when the sports guy says something idiotic? On our airwaves. I'm listening to it last night.
On our airwaves.
The Westwood One. Jim Gray. And Jim Gray, look, you couldn't see it, but he had to have been uncomfortable. You could hear it in Jim Gray's voice. He wanted to go so in depth on and be like, yeah. But,
What happened? What would you do in that situation? Would you just sort of kind of stop the interview?
I'm too big of a lightweight for that.
I just couldn't imagine being in that situation and hearing something like that. And I feel like it would distract me more than anything. Wait, did he just say?
Okay, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion. Let's talk about the Ricky Williams trade. Or go go down a different road.
So Buddy Ryan.
He can be on hold for 2.5 hours. I'm not going to hear anybody defend Mike. There is no but with that. There is no but. Well, Mike Ditka's an idiot, but... What, he won a Super Bowl?
He did. He owned some restaurants.
You can get a good steak there, too. 319-366-1600. Hertin and Stocker sponsoring the text line, which is very busy as well right now, calling me out for saying that I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm not talking specifically about what everybody else is talking about, and that's Roger Goodell and the statement that was made, and this is just... We're all part of Kabuki theater right now, and it's just amazing to me. And all I want to do is sit here and be distracted, literally and figuratively, because we're not supposed to watch TV when we're on the air by a baseball game. And that ain't happening today because of the weather in Chicago. Dodgers last night, though. Ooh. Now they get to sit around and develop a little rust. I like this. Suddenly I'm way more optimistic about the Cubs than I was a week ago. And I'll admit, you're laughing. What are you laughing at?
No, just the text line.
Do I want to know?
No.
No? Well, thank you for being honest. I appreciate that.
Apparently, 3530 lets us know that if you type in Ditka into the search engine on Deadspin, you can come up with some great stuff. Not only from today, which I found some really good stuff on Deadspin about Ditka today, but over the past few years as well.
I'm not going down that road, and there's no defending it. Look, here's where we've gotten to the point now in this country where there has to be two sides to every story. And no, there doesn't, okay? Like, what is the other side to there hasn't been any oppression in this country in the last 100 years?
Who wants to
stand on that side of the room? It's like in elementary school. Did you ever do square dancing?
Yes.
When you were in elementary school. Okay, the boys go over here and the girls go over here. And then at the count of three, everybody's going to go run and find a square dance partner, which was, as you may have guessed, one of the sadder experiences of my childhood. And there were many of them. But this is like, okay, everybody who thinks that perhaps the idea of oppression in the last 100 years is a real thing, go stand along that side of the wall. And everybody who agrees with Mike Ditka, go stand on the other side of the room. I don't want to see how many people are standing on the other side of the room is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I would like to think that even people that agree with Ditka's sentiments on the subject that we're not talking about, which is a different topic in and of itself, that even they would disagree with the 100 years statement. But I guess I'm not naive enough to believe that at the same time.
I would have loved to have been able to see the expression on Jim Gray's face. Which, by the way, I love Jim Gray, and one of the highlights of my Mondays are usually listening to the Tom Brady, because Brady just hates doing this. It's sponsored by Macy's, and he has to do it. And Jim Gray, to his credit, will always try to push the envelope and ask him about controversial issues. And Brady he's so good at it by now, just brushing things off to the side. But I would have given anything to see his face last night when Mike Ditka said one of the dumbest things that I've heard. I don't want to pigeonhole it here.
I haven't heard something that dumb in a long time.
You know what? No, I don't want to be insulted. Dumb is insulting. Something that ignorant. That's the
that works.
Definition of the word ignorance,
yes,
right there.
Yes, it is.
319-366-1600. Let's take a quick timeout and we'll come back. We'll have a big board up. There's a lot going on in the world of sports today, and we're sticking to it. because that's what we do in 2017. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, coming your way. Kyle, are we on all three right now, or are the FMs getting delay theater?
That actually feels like something I should know for sure, but okay. I don't.
Well, just I'm going to assume.
Ask, I'll know
I'm
next.
Going
the
to
higher
assume,
ups during the break.
No, the game is delayed. I know that much.
Yep.
Yes, it is.
We're off to a smashing start today, and only 90 seconds of NASCAR talk can save us, and that's 2 hours down the road from now. Back with more after this.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. The Cubs will turn to ace right-hander Jake Arrieta this afternoon as they look to advance to the National League Championship Series for the third straight year. Chicago leads Washington 2-1 heading into today's 4:30 first pitch at Wrigley Field. Originally, the game was set to be played in prime time after Los Angeles swept Arizona last night, but weather conditions call for rain this afternoon and this evening, so Major League Baseball decided the afternoon start time was its best bet. If the Cubs advance, it will be in large part due to their pitching. The Nationals are hitting just 121 as a team through the first three games of the NLDS. The Cubs aren't much better with a 215 team batting average. Washington scheduled to throw right-hander Tanner Roark in the do-or-die game today. Roark, who's from Wilmington, Illinois, grew up a Cubs fan. We've got the game right here for you on KGYM on both our FM frequencies.
Malpractice is a medical term, right? Actually, it's not. It's a plumber's word, a daycare in your home word. It means whatever you do for a living, if it goes wrong for somebody else, it can cost you big dollars. Luckily, professional liability insurance can save your bacon. And at Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person who will make it simple to get. Meet yours at youhaveaperson.com. Skogman Carlson Insurance, supported by Integrity Insurance.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids, and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back in. It is the Todd Bromwell Camp Show along with Alex Kuhn, because if I'm going down, Alex is on the boat with me. I kid, of course. We are rejoining our FM frequencies, so if you're listening to us on 1600, you can now catch us on 106.3 FM in Iowa City and 107.5 FM, the North Gym here in Cedar Rapids. Those frequencies were supposed to have Game 4 from Wrigley Field, the Cubs and the Nationals. That game is being delayed right now by Major League Baseball, and the weather does not look promising. So chances are we will have Game 4 for you coming up tomorrow once a final decision is made.
Well, apparently I made somebody mad with my fact out that just 1965 was the first year that federal legislation prohibited racial discrimination in voting. So I will move on from there.
Well, look,
perfect. I got to say it. We'll move on.
And Kyle's been trying to defend the stance on answering the phone lines here that didn't even want to talk about it. Okay?
And I'm glad we have Kyle as a buffer.
Did not want to talk about it, but there was the tiny little window. There was more of a window there than there was in the weather in Chicago. And I don't regret the decision of going and addressing what Ditka said, because to me, that's a separate story from the whole standing for the flag and the NFL and everything that goes on to it. And it breaks my heart. It truly does to have this story at Clear Creek Amana, and part of me wants to go there, and part of me doesn't. And I just
see, this is what happened.
To be a stay-at-home dad and just be like, yeah, well, that's the guy that used to be somebody. Well, no, that's not true.
This is all I will say about what happened at Clear Creek Amana. You see all of these things happening, and you think, all right, well, that's happening over the country, all over the country, and it really doesn't, it hits home, but then it doesn't at the same time until you realize that was the game that you announced on Friday. You were at that game where that happened.
I had
that on both of our FM frequencies.
I knew that, and I never even really put two and two together. And here's the thing that bothers me, because not to make this, you know, a Daryl Moore thing, who was so fun to watch when he was an Iowa player. But there are people out there that probably cheered for Daryl Moore when he wore an Iowa uniform, and then 20 years later they're saying that about his son. That sucks. It really does. No, I'm not. No,
we didn't.
Defending Ditka, which would be a great ESPN 30 for 30. Defending Ditka. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is going to join us at 5 o'clock today. We'll get his thoughts on Gary Barta stepping aside as the athletic director in Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz did not meet with the media today. However, Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker will chat with us tomorrow. So we'll have some audio from Iowa City for you from the Iowa football standpoint. Long overdue here. We got to get to Kyle for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta will be taking an extended medical leave from his duties to undergo treatment for prostate cancer, the university announced today. Barta's been with the school since 2006 and has a contract through 2021, and for now, Deputy Director of Athletics Barbara Burke will assume the leadership role in his stead. Accolades continue to roll in for the Iowa State football program after their improbable upset over number 3 Oklahoma last Saturday. And today it's well-deserved recognition for head coach Matt Campbell. He's been named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. The Cyclones haven't had more than 3 wins since 2012, but Campbell has his team off to a 3-2 start already and coming off maybe the biggest win in program history. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were updated for the week, and West Des Moines Dowling continues to hold down the top spot in Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 9th. Cedar Rapids Xavier's the top-ranked team in Class 3A with Solon sitting at 3rd. Cedar Rapids Xavier, top-ranked team in Class 3A with Solon sitting 3rd. In Class 2A, Mount Vernon is 2nd, and Williamsburg falls from 1st to 8th. And in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. And today on the FM frequencies, we're supposed to have that Cubs game starting at 4:30, but as Todd said, we're going to keep you guys posted on whether that game even gets played today or not. If it does, we will have it. If not, we'll have it tomorrow.
Would you rather, if you were a Cubs fan, have Jake Arrieta on the mound today in cold, wet, miserable conditions at Wrigley Field, knowing that he's probably not 100%? Or would you rather face Steven Strasburg tomorrow instead of facing Tanner Roark today? That's kind of what it boils down to. And as a couple people have pointed out, the Cubs have had pretty good luck in the past when rain has interfered with the MLB postseason. Maybe that's a good omen.
I see
maybe,
what you did there.
Maybe the pendulum is swinging the other way here, and this could be a bad sign of things to come for the Cubs. An update expected, if there hasn't been one, it's expected momentarily. I know MLB said 4:30. Is when they would be making a decision on what's going to be happening with that game today. So 319-366-1600. And I feel as if I was true to my word there. I really do. Because
I think we were.
Because the other aspect of it, and if you want to make it about what both sides are doing, standing, kneeling, rolling around, I don't care. That's a completely separate issue from Mike Ditka saying something so dumb and ignorant and just beyond the pale that I felt like that needed to be addressed. And it's addressed. Moving on. Let's take a break. Because we're way overdue here. We got to get to a sports beat. And it's more of the Todd Brolkamp Show on the way after this.
If you finally decided to address your hearing loss, the MD Hearing Aid Air is a medical-grade hearing aid that costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids. Designed by a Chicago doctor, the MD Hearing Aid Air has a sleek, nearly invisible profile. This digital hearing aid incorporates technology and features found in hearing aids costing thousands of dollars. The Air offers advanced noise reduction, making speech clearer and virtually eliminating annoying background noise. 3 environmental settings put you in control. You select the best setting for your location. Call 1-800-758-2010. Over 100,000 satisfied customers have already made the call. Call right now for our exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-758-2010. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-758-2010.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
It was set up for a storybook ending in Mitchell Trubisky's first NFL start, and then he made the throw. Late fourth quarter, staring down his receiver and allowing Viking safety Harrison Smith to make a break on the football and pick off the pass. Rookie mistake by Trubisky. He'll have about a million of those. My guess, his rookie season will likely finish somewhere between Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kaiser's. There is, after all, an enormous space between those two in which to land. Know what Trubisky did last night, though, on Monday Night Football? Made us watch a Bears game. First time I've done that in like a decade. And you know who surprised me more than Trubisky? John Fox, the same John Fox whose seat has been red hot for about 3 years, but he was red hot last night. Third quarter, fourth and six, fake punt works beautifully for a touchdown. Then fourth quarter, a two-point conversion straight out of an old Boise State playbook. Trubisky hands to the tailback, who hands to the tight end, who option pitches back to Trubisky for the conversion. Bears, you didn't win, but you gave us a reason to watch, so thank you. In 60 seconds, how stupid must one be?
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Who's that guy in the green room?
Mariota?
No, the guy with the face.
Tebow?
No, the one whose face is like, whoa. The pixelated face.
Oh, Big Al, Alabama's mascot. He can't be seen in public without his mascot head on.
Well, we're on the radio.
Rules are rules, dude.
The Nissan Heisman House is back. Check out NissanHeismanHouse.com for a chance to win a Nissan Titan. No purchase necessary since December 8th, 2017. Open to residents of USDC 18 and older. Official rules at NissanUSA.com/Heisman House Sweepstakes.
Snorting a white powdery substance that looks like and likely is cocaine? Stupid. Doing it on video? Also stupid. Doing it on video when you're a public figure? Even more stupid. Getting fired after said video gets out? That's a no-brainer. Chris Forster has coached football at either the college or NFL level for 35 years. Three college programs, seven NFL teams. He's coached offensive lines, tight ends, even spent a season calling plays as an offensive coordinator. Then this weekend, video breaks of him snorting a mysterious white powdery substance through a $20 bill before which he chose to talk dirty to someone. All on camera. Now, the dirty talk didn't get him in trouble, at least not to our knowledge. The snorting did. That's about the worst play he's ever called. Now he's not coaching anymore. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
How insane is this world that what you just heard from Dari Noka, is stick to sports? That's where we're at right now. Is anybody else finding this as hilarious as I do? And I say hilarious, and not necessarily in the funny ha-ha way. But in 2017, sticking to sports involves doing a story on a football coach snorting what appeared to be cocaine through, by the way.
And talking dirty to an escort.
And she's a model.
Model.
Right? Model.
Sorry.
He really did a poor job of rolling up the $20 bill, too, which is poor technique. And he's an offensive line coach. He should know about technique, right? 3530 is joining us on the phone line here, who traditionally comments only via text, but we will allow him to grace the airwaves with us right now. What's up, 3530?
Hey, guys. You know, I usually have something kind of funny to add, but I mean, I got to back up everything you're saying. First of all, if anybody wants to give you the stick to sports, this is sports right now. This is relevant, and, you know, sports has been brought into all this, but it's kind of an apple and oranges comparison, but it really hit home when you guys were talking about the unfortunate incident with the young man at Clear Creek Amana, and how something like that happens, and it kind of makes everything hit home. It gives it more of a personal feel. I kind of had a similar feeling yesterday with the tragedy with the 58 people who lost their lives in Las Vegas. I mean, it's hard to even wrap your head around that, and I picked up a USA Today newspaper yesterday, and the USA Today did a profile, a short bio, and a picture of each one of those victims. And I tell you what, if that doesn't make it hit home, nothing else will. So I just, you know, it was hard for me to get through it, but I felt like, out of respect to those people, that was the least I could do. But again, it's just, you know, a little bit of apples to oranges, but it just really makes it hit home when you have something like that happen. So, like I said, if anybody doesn't like what you guys are talking about, they really don't have a clue what's going on right now. So keep up the good work, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, 3530. And that is, look, there's so much more that could have been said or could be said in the last, when did I say that I wasn't talking about it? Like a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
It feels like 2 weeks or so.
It feels like an eternity ago. And so much has gone on in the world since then. And I went to lunch today and I'm listening to the Russillo show and they're talking about the main issue that I just don't want any part of anymore. And that's the whole, the protest and, you know, I got to be careful because whatever word I use, I feel like it's doing a disservice to one side or the other. So
the
I don't even want to go down the road. But I'm listening and I'm like, how arrogant is it for me to sit here in Eastern Iowa and to be listening to that and think, look, I'm smarter than these guys because I'm not falling for it. Like, you're down there in the muck and you're doing other people's bidding for them by talking about it. And here I am just tooling along, going to get my lunch, and I'm doing a better job at this. Now, the Ditka thing for me is a completely separate animal related to somehow the bigger picture. And I guess maybe that's my fault for deciding that I was going to comment on that small snapshot. But there's no defending what he said. I mean, it's just there's been no oppression that he's seen in the last 100 years. Okay, we'll move on. Look, it wasn't my intention to even really talk about it.
And I'm sorry I brought it up, but could not believe that. And it also hit closer to home because I was listening to it on our radio station.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where you go, did he really say that? And what's the basis for saying that? I don't know. That's not something that I would be proud of, by the way, to say that, well, I mean, that I've seen. I mean, how oblivious have you been going through life? And the locker rooms that you've been in and everything, it's just, look, I don't want to be a martyr and I don't want to be a social justice warrior and I don't want to be politically correct and there's 1,000 things I don't want to be. One of them is unemployed. And I just, in this day and age, it's just, I feel like we've crossed the threshold of it, you know, just funny, ha-ha, chuckles, balls and strikes and field goals and sports is sports. Like, some of us get dragged kicking and screaming. Some of us willingly go there. And it's, I think something happened somewhere along the way where the worm has turned. I never have liked that phrase, by the way, but
someone brought this up over the weekend and it underscores that. They were talking about the NFL and we were theorizing why people are kind of burnt out on it. And after we talked about the declining product and the rookie pay scale and how that has kind of have changed the NFL, we talked about the fact that even before these demonstrations were taking place, people were getting burned out on the NFL because everything that you turn on to hear about the NFL, whether it's the radio or the TV or what, everything that you're hearing as a consumer of the NFL is about everything else except for what is going on the football field.
No, but here's
Deflategate, brain trauma, domestic violence. Everything else is happening in the subject of what's happening on the field is secondary.
To me, everything takes a back seat to your original point that you made last night on Twitter. That game,
that too,
along with 90% of the games, are uninteresting.
I just think,
okay, if I don't have Jordan Howard on my or Kyle Rudolph on my fantasy team, chances are, oh, okay, another caveat. If I don't have either one of those guys on my fantasy team, and I don't host a sports talk show in Eastern Iowa where people care about both of those teams, I've got no incentive to watch that game. If I'm flipping through the channels last night and I turn it on and I see it's 10-9, I go, okay, move on. Now, even if I'm not a Packers fan, which I am, and I like to look, I'm I like to be open about the teams that I root for and everything, but even if I'm not a Packers fan and I stumble on Green Bay Dallas on Sunday afternoon, early Sunday evening, it was one of the 3:30 games, I'm pulled in by that game because it's interesting and they're scoring points.
Right, exactly.
And okay, that's the outlier right now. A lot of the games are as boring and uninteresting as last night. The only thing semi-relevant about last night is it was Mitch Trubisky's first game, and we're going to get to that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, most likely at this point, because we went there last night and nobody wanted to talk about it. I think it was Bears fans being cautiously optimistic and wanting to see what he looked like, and then remembering that he didn't have anybody to throw the ball to. So it's kind of hard to judge him based on the talent that he's got working around him. But that's where I'm at right now on the NFL. It has nothing to do with what the – and by the way, I took a look at the Hurtine and Stocker text line here, and you've got a lot of listeners right now, and they all have differing opinions on why I don't want to talk about the issue of, as you said, we'll call it for generic purposes, the protest. Even though I think that that sort of directs the discussion onto one side or the other. But all of these people have different theories, and some of them are like, I'm applauding you for not giving the players the attention. And other people are, I'm applauding you for not giving, for giving that person attention. So you've got people out here, and some of them think I'm talking about this, and some of them think I'm talking about that, and that either means I'm doing a good job or I'm doing a really crappy job. And I think I probably know what direction that I'm going in.
But that,
why did you bring this up?
I'm sorry, but I think that just underscores, before we get to Sonny in Iowa City, who's been patiently waiting, that just underscores it's not just one reason why NFL ratings are down. Everybody has an opinion, and I think that's the problem the NFL is going through, because everybody has a reason for not watching, and there are way too many reasons that are present, and the fact that the product has gone way down is probably the biggest one.
And people are looking for an excuse to bail, I think, because they're bored by it. And then this comes along and go, oh, I'm hopping on. I'm only taking calls apparently today from people that I trust, which is a really shallow pool. There may be a rain puddle out in the parking lot that's slightly deeper, but Sonny in Iowa City, you're one of those people. Sonny, what's up?
Yeah, I think that that's probably a pretty wise decision on your part, not to just let the airwaves run rampant with opinion today. I will say that the Just Talk Sports thing is one of the most fascinating, you know, big culture things that actually exist. And I was trying to think back of when sports really transcended, and there was two things that came to mind for me. One of them was OJ. The OJ trial was a very difficult situation for a lot of people to understand what the long-range repercussions would have when you have a sports star completely transcend the game and then end up in a terrible situation. And the other one was Tiger Woods. So when Tiger Woods ended up having the meltdown and the Cadillac and the driveway and the whole thing go off, there was a lot of shows that were trying to decide whether or not to actually cover this, because it wasn't technically sport, but at the same time you've got the greatest golfer in the game, and at that time potentially the greatest golfer of all time, suddenly is not going to be playing golf for the foreseeable future. How do you not address that? I remember specifically Dan Patrick saying, we're only going to talk about half of this. We're only going to talk about the part that impacts sport. At this point, there is just no detangling the world of sports with the characters that are on the field, because we have such an insatiable appetite to dig deep into every person's life now to find out what ticks, what makes them tick, because itself. I mean, it drives ratings, so that's where we are.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. I don't want to relitigate the OJ thing, but I'll share this because somebody out there may find it interesting, and it relates somehow to Iowa football. And if we're sticking to sports, that's what this is all about. a lot of people remember where they were when the O.J. Simpson verdict came in, and people say that it's, quote-unquote, our generation's Kennedy assassination for people of a certain age. I was sitting in Casey Kreider's dad's classroom, his biology classroom, in high school. Casey Kreider, who was the long snapper for the Hawkeyes, who now snaps for the Denver Broncos. That's where I was at, and they announced it on the loudspeaker at school. Hey, the verdict is in the O.J. case, and he's not guilty. And everybody just sort of took your breath away because everybody was surprised by it. And then you go home and you watch the nightly news that night, and they're showing groups of people who had a completely different reaction from it, and it was as plain as black and white. And yeah, I meant to say that, what the differences were, and then that's just a reminder, like number 989,572 for me, about I may have views and one world view, but there's a ton of other ways that people experience. I'm all about experience. I experience the world in only a way that I can because of how I was brought up and where I was brought up and the things that I've done, the places that I've worked. And no one else has my shared experience. And I don't have anybody else's shared experience, okay? I'm not you, Alex. I didn't grow up. We don't have the same religion. I'm an only child. I don't have experience sharing a household with people of another race. I mean, it's a completely different experience. And yet, so you try to find the common ground, and one of those things used to be sports. And I think that's what really has upset a lot of people. Is because there isn't a whole lot of land out there anymore on this island of contentment where you get to tune out every... One of them used to be the movies, and now all of a sudden, here's creepy Hollywood perv all over the headlines. You're like, okay, well, that's out now, too. No movies, no sports. I'll go to the sports talk show. No. It just... Yeah. Brandon in Cedar Rapids. Okay, I'm rolling the dice here. Rolling the dice, Brandon, what's up?
Hey, guys. So, you know, I'm not going to say whether what side I'm on or not, because, you know, that's not the
Thank
right
you.
Kind of place for it. But, you know, my employer has kind of a policy as far as, like, social media or, like, political rallies. I can't, like, wear their insignia on or whatnot, you know, because they don't want to be tied to whether one side or the other. Because they want to be seen as neutral. I think with the loss in viewership to the NFL, even though I still watch every single game, I think the loss in viewership to the NFL is because their fans are made up of tons of different types of views. And these protests or these awareness or whatever you want to call them, that they're conflicting with these different views that are made up of the fans in the NFL. And as the NFL, they just need to try to be a little bit more neutral to their fan base.
Appreciate the phone call, Brandon. You can't pay me enough to be Roger Goodell right now, because every day he comes to work, he has to just absolutely be hating his life. But then you know what? He brought a lot of this on himself.
But what Brandon said is interesting, because you had one side angry, and now with the NFL doing what they're reported to be doing, you're going to have the other side angry. And now in 2017, it's become, let's boycott, let's demonstrate, let's protest. And basically everybody's angry at this point. And like you said, I would hate to be Roger Goodell right now, because everybody hates me even more than they already did, which is very difficult.
Someone on the text line says, let's all move to Switzerland. We had two Swiss foreign exchange students in our class when I was in high school. Younger me says, sounds like a good idea. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One has over 40 locations across the corridor for your banking needs. Eva Spring, Kyle.
University of Iowa Athletic Director Gary Barta will be taking an extended medical leave from his duties to undergo treatment for prostate cancer, the university announced today. Barta's been with the school since 2006 and has a contract through 2021. And for now, Deputy Director of Athletics Barbara Burke will assume the leadership role in his stead. accolades continue to roll in for the Iowa State football program after their improbable upset over number 3 Oklahoma last Saturday. And today it's well-deserved recognition for head coach Matt Campbell. He's been named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. The Cyclones haven't had more than 3 wins since 2012, but Campbell has his team off to a 3-2 start already and coming off maybe the biggest win in program history. The Gazette and KGYM's high school football rankings were updated for the week, and West Des Moines Dowling continues to hold down the top spot in Class 4A with Iowa City West 2nd, Cedar Falls 7th, and Cedar Rapids Prairie 9th. Cedar Rapids Xavier's the top-ranked team in Class 3A with Solon sitting at 3rd, and in Class 2A, Mount Vernon is 2nd, and Williamsburg falls from 1st to 8th, and in Class 1A, Iowa City Regina is 3rd. And I'm going to keep this on here until we have a definitive ruling on tonight's game. We're supposed to have that Cubs-Nationals game with Jake Arrieta facing Tanner Roark. They are in a rain delay right now. The tarp's on the field. If that game gets played tonight, we will have it. Otherwise, we'll keep you updated.
Technically, it's not a rain delay because that would sort of mean that the game had started. They're just in a delay. And 4:30 was the first update, and then they said 5 o'clock is another update.
What do you call it, a holding pattern? Or
well, just... Yeah. The like start that. Of the game has been delayed. Rain delay to me, I hear that. I go, oh, they threw a pitch or something here.
That means Edwin Jackson is
it
pitching.
It wasn't raining, okay, at 4:30, but it was projected to start raining at about 4:40, 4:45, and the forecast in Chicago is calling for 80% chance of rain at 7 o'clock through the remainder of the evening. And it's so easy to look at this right now and say, just bag it. And move it to tomorrow, which I don't know whether I want or not as a Cubs fan, but at this point, this game's not going to be played, and MLB is just stringing everybody along. 5 o'clock. My apologies if the first hour of the program offended your sensibilities. It sort of offended my sensibilities at times, too, and that's the reason why I was really hoping to never have to talk about some of that stuff again, but there you go, Ditka. We'll always have the SNL skit, though, and Bears fans will always have that Super Bowl 20 win over the Patriots. 5:01, we'll step aside. We got Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com joining us. No Kirk Ferentz today in Iowa City, but plenty of news to talk about from Iowa City. Unfortunately, not of the good variety, with Gary Barta having to step aside for an indefinite amount of time while he battles prostate cancer. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com on the way after this.